So, in the short time we have left, I realize I'm not going to be able to do everything I'd hoped to do. But let me preface it before I explain these different practices. Something that I believe James Hillman writes about is the soul is a verb. The soul is a verb. We think of our souls, that part of us that, depending on our languaging, that divine part of ourselves, our higher nature, our big S self, is that part which is congruent, which is in and of itself something of the eternal, existing prior to this life, and grows, journeys, and carries on from this life, especially in the Celtic world. That's the understanding. And that soul, in entering a journey into the life as a human and through our experiences, is first impacted by the collectives it comes into contact with. Mother, father as a collective, family as a collective, community as a collective, society as a collective, the earth as a collective, the zeitgeist of the time, the spirit of the age that one comes into life and journeys through is a collective. And in the Celtic worldview, as with many other spiritual worldviews that embrace this notion of the deeper self as a journeying aspect, that the life journey, we come to a point where all of a sudden we understand those collective influences and can begin to co-create with them. And our journey with God, our journey with the divine, is always that presence that's there within, helping us find our way. And ultimately, that God is the all-embracing field of all fields, the cosmic life, the revelation of the harmony of all the parts that Philip Newell describes, that is holding us in the journey and is there from the beginning. And I love this notion. We were all created at the same time. It's just as David Bohm writes about the implicate order. It's just, when is our time for manifesting? But it's such a beautiful, delightful, and I love that notion. So if the soul becomes alive through how we act, and how the soul becomes alive, that part of us that is always seeking, and another way of saying is the psyche, is always seeking to reconcile the differences in our lives. I'm going to move this up a little bit more. So, therefore, we look to those things we can do that bring our soul and the soul of another, the relationship to the other, into connection. And then the soul is apprehended. God is apprehended, where two or more are gathered. So let me list a few of these things. The first is blessing, the act of blessing. And we're actually going to do this. Whenever we are blessed, whenever we bless, and there's numerous ways to do blessings, to write them, say them, bestow them, pray for one ourselves. Whenever we are involved with blessing, we open the doorway to that direct connection between God transcendent and God immanent. It is a practice of bringing together and making whole. Biography, telling our story. We may not think this is great soul work or the balm of all wounds, but it is one of them. To be in a circle of people who speak from the heart and listen. Listen to the heartbeat of God in the way they're listening to you. Tell your story. This is one of the most powerful balms of healing. And there's lots of ways to tell your story. One in a superficial way, one in all the roles I've played and la-di-da and things I've done and places I've gone. But I'm not talking about that story. I'm talking about the soul journey. What has been your journey in this life? What have you lived through? What have you learned? Who have been your mentors and teachers who've made you who you are? This is also has a strong Celtic thread. There's a book, The Celtic Shaman, by John Matthews, a Celtic scholar, who's written some 90 books on Celtic spirituality. He and his wife, Catelyn Matthews, are a force to reckon with. He writes in the book about the Adamum, who was the one who wrote the life of St. Columba, the first biographical record we have of the life of the monastic community on Iona, some of the other interconnection between the various Celtic communities. He did an extensive biography and history. And in the research of his writings, he talks about the cauldron-born journey, which is a very ancient, pre-Christian, actually, thread, which comes from the knowledge that each one of us has a time in our life where the outer roles and responsibilities dissolve and we go into an inner journey. Sometimes we're forced to that through illness or loss. Sometimes it's through the stage of life we're in. We've raised our families, we've done, our roles are complete, and yet there's the spiritual journey calling us. And for others, in the white martyrdom of the Celts, it was those who were like the desert fathers and mothers. They chose to go into nature alone and journey. And the thing about this journeying is that there was the recognition that there was this profound, the reason the cauldron was used is it was the cauldron of the goddess of the earth. And you put yourself in it and you were dismantled. You were cooked, basically. All your parts sort of fell away and you were dismantled. But in that, you then journeyed back to the source. You had your equivalent of what was a vision quest. And that might have come in those times of aloneness, of being in nature, of going into deep contemplative practices, of prayer, fasting, whatever it might have been. But when you had that inner journey, your responsibility was to bring back some piece of it and tell it. Because the mantle of the world in its ongoing evolution is coming through us as well as the rest of creation. We each have a part and a piece of the telling that if we don't share what our journeys have been, we are not giving God's voice, God's expression, its due. And so in the early Celtic tradition, they were oral tradition, as you know, these tellings became part of the ongoing original, what you would call the creation stories of the culture. But let's say Tom had a vision, he would bring that vision in and it would be added and then memorized by everybody as another piece of very important information. When I lead my retreats, I am always astounded at how much lies within each person, incredible knowing and wisdom of their journey, but they do not know they have it until they begin to speak their story or tell their story. And then something that's been disconnected within themselves and that deeper wisdom begins to knit itself back together again. And we're not talking about ego inflation. We're talking about profound soul embodied sharing. So sacred circles are a place where this can happen. Touch, the body, movement. Very quickly, some of you, I don't know if you've heard of a program at La Casa de Maria called Capacitar. Have any of you heard of this program? Let me then mention it. When I first started working there 5 years ago, I worked at La Casa for 1 year helping with their program development as program coordinator for the La Casa programs. And one of the first groups that came through was something called Capacitar, means empowerment in Spanish, developed by a woman named Pat Kane. And they were celebrating the 20th anniversary of Capacitar being a movement, an international movement. 85 people attended from 45 countries. The weekend was spoken in 5 languages. And what I learned about what Pat has brought into our knowledge and understanding and teaching of techniques is that any wound, any trauma can be healed within community context. She works in the most difficult of places on the planet. I think she's traveled to 28 countries last year. She's in Palestine and Israel and East Timor and, you know, when Sri Lanka had their tsunami, she was there teaching people these skills, which are simple. Something like handhold, I'm going to teach it to you right now. When you take with one hand and hold your hand with the other, you start with your thumb. Hold your thumb. You just simply sit quietly for about 2 minutes and hold your thumb. And after 2 minutes, you move to the first finger, the pointer finger. We can't do the whole thing right now, but you can try this afterwards. Then the third finger. Until you, 2 minutes on each finger of the hand. Doesn't matter which hand. The nerve endings in that finger tap into the whole neural structure. You quiet the parasympathetic and nervous systems bounce. You move out of flight or flight. You move out of rage, anger, fear, worry, concern. You calm. That's one of the first things she teaches. The whole training is about physical techniques of movement, of touch, of holding, and how we do that for one another. in community. And the effects are astounding. There were people there, Mayans from Central America, people from Rwanda who had lived through the horrendous Tutsi and Hutu and Tutsis. One woman there who now heads up Capacitar in Rwanda, she witnessed her family being hacked to death. She was in extreme paralyzed trauma for 2 years until Pat came along. You would never know this woman had lived through what she lived through. Her whole integration of her body, heart, mind, psyche, soul has come back together. She regained her humanity. And she now teaches others. Thousands. Yes. Patricia, actually, is her full name, Cane, and her website is capacitar.org. I've done the training with her. Both of my daughters have. She's a master teacher. She's 78, won't be around too much longer. Well, no, maybe she will be. Maybe she'll be traveling the world at 100. Maybe she'll be hitting 50 countries at a time. Anyone interested, go to La Casa de Maria's website. She's beginning her next training. It's a 4-part training in March. Let other people know. It is the most helpful, hopeful work. Practical, simple. Policemen, mental health, it's extraordinary the community that comes together, people who are first responders, working with mental health, hospital workers, and just people, normal citizens, who are dealing with family issues. But in hearing the stories of those 85 people, I had hope for the future. The birth of the undivided self, I was seeing, aha, biography, hearing biography, I'm seeing the birth of the undivided self. Blessing, the act of blessing. Blessing brings forth the healing of the split, of the fragmentation. And so I want us to step into a moment, 5 minutes, where we're going to do a blessing. Can you pair off? Is there someone you're sitting next to, a stranger? This is putting you on the edge. If you need to move and find somebody, raise your hand. If you don't have a partner, most likely, it may well be the person you've chosen you don't know, which is quite all right because the person is the stranger. How do we bless the stranger? I'm going to read another Celtic prayer and then lead you in an exercise. We all connected up? This is the Celtic rune of hospitality. We saw a stranger yesterday. We put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place, music in the listening place. And with the sacred name of the triune God, he blessed us and our house, our cattle and our dear ones. As the lark says in her song, often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. And so we're going to bless each other. Bless your cattle. And your loved ones. I don't know if any of you have cattle, but you may have cats. or dogs. You have a home. You have a relationships. You have work. And when we open to receive the gift of blessing from another, both the blesser and the blessee are gifted. And so, I forgot my bell. I'm going to ring the glass. Let's see if this works. I'll sing or something. So decide who's going to go first. And I'd like that person who's going to be the one who blesses to just center in themselves and their body and their heart and their breath. And then turn to the person you are going to bless and take a moment to look at them. And then from your heart, oh, here we go. Even better.
Oh, okay.
You're okay. Woo! I knew I left something at home. So, no need to worry. Things are provided. And step into the place and just follow your heart. You'll have 2 minutes to just, you can do it in silence. You can hold your hands up and just bless through your hands. Or if you have words come to you, let the words flow. But give a blessing. And the other person just sits in quiet receptivity to receive that blessing. Clear enough? Okay, I'm going to 2 minutes, ring the bell again, and then you're going to switch. So the first person, take a moment to get centered. Slowly finish your blessing and just sit quietly, the two of you, and feel. Note how you are feeling right now. I'm going to ring the bell again in around 20 seconds. And the other person, if they have not already done so, will become the blesser. And so take these next 20, 30 seconds to prepare yourself. And when I ring the bell, you then will exchange roles. Gently complete the blessing and just sit and again and take note of what this experience engendered. I'd like one person, or let's have two people stand up and just, if you'd like to just briefly share what your experience was and grab the microphone.
I have found that giving a blessing blesses me. This experience in giving a blessing to someone, I don't know anything about his life, but that doesn't matter. And I talked, I blessed it out loud. He blessed me quietly with his hands toward me. And I could feel that warmth and that love and that heart. When I'm driving, I bless those who don't do something right. You know, I just bless them. And it feels so good. Not that I'm doing something right, but that I'm connected to them in a loving way, in a healing way. And that's what blesses me.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know it's 12 o'clock, we're supposed to end, but this is precious, and can you bear with me a few more minutes? Okay. I'm sure we each could say something. But this simple act took 5 minutes, two people blessing, and look at what is possible. That is available. That is the soul as a verb, giving expression to God, pouring forth. We have opportunities every moment of our day. So blessing is a balm for all wounds. And lastly, I was going to recommend the book Spiritual Intelligence. It's called SQ21, 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. Wonderful book by Cindy Wigglesworth. Great name. She, in this book, is talking about the growing capacity for compassion. And this is a wonderful book to look at the progression and get feedback in one's own life. SQ21, Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. You know how there's emotional IQ, Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goldberg. This is taking those bits of work along with integral field work by Ken Wilber. Cindy Wigglesworth. And it may have to wait for another time, but I was going to talk about the field awareness and the witness. And I'm going to leave you with this thought before closing, that the more we explore within ourselves these places that come together, that bring disparity together in our lives, and we hold that within the container, those paradoxes and polarities, within our ability to just simply witness. No judgment, no expectation, no particular way. It's almost an approach of the mind. It's like an engaged level of practice, not moving into an emptying internal practice, but it's almost flipping that over into a practice we can learn to do. We become more and more a witness, and that witnessing presence is, again, as you deeply into it, it's neutral, it doesn't hold polarity. It holds the whole, shadow and light, all aspects. And when we can hold the witnessing space with those we love, it's a way of seeing, as we prayed at the very beginning, a way of listening, a way of beholding, and of bringing presence into any situation we're in. And you put the witnessing capacity along with awareness of what exists in the field around a situation. Family systems, work by Virginia Satir, whole systems theory, understanding that every situation is a complex system of relationships. But it exists within a field, a container, that creates a particular situation. So you look at the Second World War and you look at all the parties involved, or Tibet and China, or what's going on with my daughter who might be ill and her problems. And I witness her and I behold all of the elements in her situation, the field. At the human level, I am bringing that God presence into the very stuff of life. And it is transformative. Any one person who holds this quality in any environment affects that environment. because in the midst of that relationship, one person is beholding the whole. All the parts. And what is stuck is allowed to begin to move, breathe, find spaciousness. And boy, do we need that now in our country, that type of beholding, witnessing within our politics. But it also, I invite you into exploring these two aspects as part of this emergent birthing and midwifing the undivided self, the new harmony, the balm of healing our wounds. And that is what I wanted to say today. We're going to end with a lovely Celtic song, and then you are free to enjoy this beautiful day. Thank you once again.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the gentle night to you. Moon and stars, pour your healing light on you. Deep peace of Christ, of Christ, the light to you. Deep peace.